The 10 o'clock hour of Woolley and Tausch
begins now. And it begins... So, I've had a few things on Twitter, now known as X, go viral. Which is not fun because it never
Congrats.
Goes...
Congrats!
No, you love that. I'm not a fan. So I got a little irritated with somebody the other day after Matt LaFleur's press conference and the issue that apparently this fella wanted us to flat out ask Matt LaFleur if he was firing Rich Bisaccia. Which, again, you're entitled to your opinion. I disagree with it. But if you are around LaFleur and around the team and you talk to people, the question was never whether or not he was going to fire Rich Bisaccia, because as you've seen, he didn't. But I thought it was important to try and get him to explain the core issues or how he feels about his special teams. And so, I am far from perfect. But I feel like I do okay when it comes to asking questions. And so I asked LaFleur, as opposed to, are you firing your special teams coordinator, which he was not going to do. And if you understand some of the dynamic in that building and the value that he sees in Rich Bisaccia to him, to his team's culture, and everything else, which, again, as a fan, you're entitled to disagree. Go ahead. But the feeling is that he is his consigliere. So that was not going to occur.
Hard word to spell.
It is a hard word to spell. Their special teams has not been good enough. And while we give Rob Domofsky grief, Tausch, for not including the salary that they pay Rich Bisaccia in the assessment of his special teams performance, we all agree that it has not been improved to the degree that we all expected because of the pomp and circumstance of them hiring him. Right?
Yes. Yeah. I think we all anticipated some big change where it was going to be top 10 group. I know you look at how they build rosters and, you know, they're going to always, when you spend big money on defensive ends and quarterbacks and things like that, that's not really where we're at. You have opportunities to keep core guys together. And I think as long as you have the kicker and the punter that you feel good about and a good long snapper, you should be able to, the way you draft athletes and young players, you should be able to put together a good unit. Now, the punt return, I'm still very concerned that that's going to cost us a game. But
they're the worst
all of
in the
other
league.
Things, you shouldn't be bottom. It feels like every year, whenever our season ends and they bring an old boy from Dallas, puts that thing out, if we're in the mid 20s, it's like, all right, pretty good. Not bad. Like,
right?
That's what it feels like. And that's not how championship teams should view special teams, because we see every game. I mean, we just saw the Rams probably give up their one seed and maybe a Super Bowl berth because they couldn't make plays on special teams. And that's why Sean McVay fired the guy. And I think that's probably why whoever was getting after you on Twitter is talking, because urgency means accountability and in real time. And I think the fact Sean McVay did that, and he is not one of those guys, and he's obviously good buddies with LaFleur, I think that's where Packer fans are looking. Do something. So you – and at least – and that's not a good way to do business, just for the record, and I agree with you. But that's, I think, where that stems from.
So – and I believe that that's exactly right, Tausch. So Sean McVay, they lose to the Seattle Seahawks in overtime.
Punt return.
Their special teams misses a 48-yard field goal, which, again, the field goal kicking feels like that is a general manager's job to get a field goal kicker, not necessarily the the special teams coordinator's fault on that, but maybe some.
I think the special teams coordinator typically has a say in who they like as kicking. But yes.
And the punt return for the touchdown was obviously a major factor in that game. So for the first time in his 9-year tenure, Sean McVay fires a coach in season.
Yep.
So then when the Packers have Romeo Doubs bumble a onside kick opportunity, then the mentality is, well, Sean McVay fired his special teams coach. Why doesn't Matt LaFleur fire his? I understand that line of thought. Just because Sean McVay did it doesn't mean Matt LaFleur is going to do it. My question for you, because as Jesse, I'm sure, read as he worked his way through this fascinating piece at Channel3000.com, here are some of the numbers for where the Packers rank in the various categories. They are dead last in the 32-team NFL in punt return average. They are 18th in kickoff return average.
All right, that's awesome.
They are they are 23rd in field goal success rate.
That's not great.
They are 21st in punt return average allowed.
Okay, it's not great, but for us, it's pretty good.
They are 14th in kickoff return average allowed.
All right, it's middle of the pack.
Daniel Whelan is third in NFL gross punting average.
Yeah, we don't care about gross. We care about net.
He is 12th in net average.
Pretty good. He's had a good year. He's done a nice job.
And according to NFLpenalties.com, the Packers special teams unit have committed 21 penalties for 196 yards. That is the ninth, tied for the ninth most in the league among special teams units.
So that's bad.
That would be bad, yes. That would be bad. High would be bad there. So my question to you is, should the Packers have fired Rich Bisaccia for Romeo Doubs not handling that onside kick? Because they win the game if Romeo just takes care of that.
No, I think if you were going to do that, I thought last offseason would have been a nice time to mix some things up and maybe do something different. I'm not interested in firing special teams coordinators mid-season. Obviously, if things are just getting worse and worse, and I'd argue they started off as bad as you could. We couldn't block for a field goal. We're getting punts blocked. So in Rich's defense, he brought in different guys, and they fixed, knock on wood, feels like the field goal protection stuff is fixed. But at some point, you can't just consistently accept being in the upper 20s in almost everything. Like, it's just that's fine if you're a middling franchise. That's not what the Green Bay Packers are all about. So I understand he's got a great relationship, and Rich brings, he's an old head coach. He brings a lot to the table. Is it enough to continue to just kind of accept? What do we always say about coaching, Jason? What's the old saying?
You get what you emphasize. You also get what you tolerate.
So right now we're tolerating being a bottom third special teams unit every year. And if that is what you're tolerating, so be it. I don't think that's the message that you want to send to your fans and to your team. I don't. But no, I'm not in. I'm not. I was on the postgame show Saturday. It's kind of like, is that on Rich Bisaccia, the onside kick? And I'm like, no, and I'm not a Bisaccia guy at all.
You're not. It's a lot. Facts.
I don't know what you wanted Rich to do there. Like, the kick is right to your best hands guy, and all he's got to do is bring the ball in, and the game's over. He didn't. Mistakes happen. Guys make mistakes, and, bounces happen. But I'm not going to kill Rich Bisaccia for that. Like, that's just – no, I don't think that's fair either.
That would be the one area where the difference is between that 2014 NFC Championship game in Seattle. In that game, they gave up a fake field goal for a touchdown. And then Brandon Bostic did something he wasn't supposed to do on that onside kick. He's not supposed to field it. So he did not follow the directions of the coach, which, whether that's fair or not, led to Sean
Menenga.
No, it's a different Sean earlier who was fired as a result.
Slocum. So, Sean Slocum.
Sean Slocum. Thank you. So, yes, I am not here to say that you can't be frustrated about special teams. I think it's a very valid criticism. I'll be curious to see what happens.
I'm telling
forward.
You, if Romeo Doubs continues to handle punts, and there's punts. The thing is, the beautiful part is nobody punts anymore, so your opportunities are limited. He catches those punts. I mean, God bless him. He's found a way to do a nice enough job. He's not turned it over. We're not getting any type of yardage on a punt. And maybe I'll be wrong, and he's going to turn into Desmond Blankenhoward at the end of this. I'll be shocked if that happens, but I will tip the cap. If he takes one back to the house and wins a playoff game, that'd be awesome.
It'll be also awesome when you and Sarah and AmFam reach your goal in your virtual toy drive for the AmFam Children's Hospital.
And we are getting close. We got a little more than a week left. Join us as we've teamed up with American Family Insurance to raise funds towards the American Family Children's Hospital through a virtual toy drive. All donations will go towards therapeutic supplies and toys that help thousands of children and families across the country. Plus, American Family Insurance will match every dollar up to $50,000 through the end of the year. We are close. We want to get it all the way to $100,000. $50,000 from our team, $50,000 from American Family Insurance. It's a beautiful way to head into the new year. Visit amfamkids.org. That's amfamkids.org to donate today.
This is going to come as a surprise to you, but Jesse would like us to lavish him with praise and credit for something he did yesterday.
Oh.
So much so that he wrote it into the show sheet.
Just wait. Jesse wants us to lavish him with praise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep.
So we'll get right on that. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
This one's a doozy. Nothing says Christmas like royalty-free music. All right, Jesse. The floor is yours. You put a poll in the field. Great job. Way to go.
Thank you. I appreciate the mention.
Sincere.
Because, you know, there's so many times where I don't put a poll in the field when it's kind of half-heartedly tossed up, like,
almost every time.
And then I actually did poll, and I don't hear anything when I actually do poll. You don't even talk about it when I do poll it. So this is why we don't poll things. But then you say, hey, where's your poll in the field? So we finally put a poll in the field.
Your Wildy's gotten a lot better.
That wasn't Wildy Buster.
It's a good impersonation of Jason.
So the poll that you asked me to put in the field that I did yesterday and has received over 650 votes, significant. Are you confident the Packers will win a potential playoff game against the Bears in Chicago? Before I unveil the returns, Tausch, how do you think our fans voted on this poll?
65-35, yes.
Jason?
75-25.
Split the difference. 71. Oh, wait. No, it changed. 77%. Yes. Confident. Wow. More than 3 out of 4 Packers fans say yes, the Packers would beat the Bears if they meet again at Soldier Field. 70% yes, 23% no. Our poll returns from yesterday.
Yeah, I kind of thought we might get infiltrated a little bit with Cap and everybody down at ESPN Chicago with some Bear fans. So that's what kind of led me skew it a little bit. But Packer fans are very confident in beating the Bears because we beat them. And listen, I get it. I know Rutledge and all of the Bear fans in our offices would tell you, oh, that's what losers – and I can't argue. We lost. But did anybody feel like that we got outplayed in any way, shape, or form? I don't think so. I think we feel very confident that we should have won. Again, criticism is fair.
Sure.
With Malik Willis as the basically playing the, you know, three quarters of that football game.
Tausch, I would like you to take your crystal ball out and put it on your very large countertop. Okay. This week's games that influence the Packers' current standing in the National Football Conference. The Detroit Lions on Thursday play at Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
The Green Bay Packers on Saturday host the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
And the Chicago Bears travel across the country to appear on Sunday Night Football in a matchup of 2-11-4 teams at San Francisco, who may or not be without George Kittle, who injured his ankle last night. When you look at those three games, tell me what you think will occur in each of those three games.
A confidence level goes like this. Green Bay is going to whoop up on Baltimore. Baltimore's done. Quarterback gets hurt. There just seems they're off. Like, it's just not their year. I think there's going to be some changes there. That, I feel good. Now, the fact that Detroit won't know that, I think Detroit beats Minnesota. And then I think San Francisco beats the Bears. So that's how I look at it. And that sets up, obviously, a very intriguing Week 18 with a coach in Dan Campbell that is not going to give an inch. Whether or not his players, how that's going to shake out at Soldier Field, I don't know. But I would bet that will be one of the, you know, that will be, I don't know how they'll shake that all up, because you're going to have an NFC or a NFC South divisional championship more than likely next week. You're going to probably have the big dog game is going to be the NFC West championship game with Seattle playing San Francisco. So there's a lot of intrigue left. Mm-hmm. But I think that Detroit, and seeing how they approached the Green Bay game a few years ago and they knocked us out of the playoffs, I wonder if the Ben Johnson, like, there's a lot there to unpack. But Dan Campbell's a dog, and he ain't going to give in to anybody. So whether or not they find a way to win that game, it'll be fun to watch. But I think Green Bay is still in a position that they could get that three spot. I wouldn't bet it. But that's how I see this weekend shaking out.
So the to your point, the Eagles are obviously still part of this equation as well. They are 10-5. So if they were to win their final two games, they could finish 12-5 and be the number two seed and jump the Bears. And if the Packers end up as the seventh seed, what happens? They go right back to Philly like they did last year, and hopefully, for their sake, they don't turn the ball over four times. The Week 18 games, as Tausch referenced, the Lions play the Bears at Soldier Field. The Packers play at Minnesota. Again, the NFC West comes down to Seahawks at 49ers. The Rams play the Cardinals. The Rams are at home in that one. The Rams can still finish 13-4. So there are some moving pieces, obviously, for the number one seed. But, again, the only not locked up spots in the NFC playoff picture are who's going to win the South and who's going to be the one other wild card that has not been clinched.
So here's what I would say when I'm evaluating all of this. And San Francisco winning last night, I think the worst matchup that we could have would be to have to go to Philly in the first round. Anybody argue? Like,
no, I wouldn't. I totally agree with you. Yeah, I'd much rather play the Bears if I'm a Packers fan.
I don't have a problem going to Carolina or Tampa. I think both games, no, it's a playoff game. We'd be pretty good favorites, and I think we find ways to win. I'm not scared to go down to Chicago. The only matchup that's realistic, you know, unless we end up being the three seed, we could be the three seed and have the Rams coming into town in Green Bay. Now that's about that. That's something that's intriguing. Or it could be San Francisco or Seattle as a 3-6 matchup. I don't think we want that. I think we want to play the Bears or we want to play the NFC South. That's how, and we're not going to play the NFC South. That's not feasible at this point.
Last
we're not going
thing.
To be a five.
So last yeah. thing. So in the AFC North, right now, the Pittsburgh Steelers are 9-6. The Ravens are 7-8. That loss by Baltimore to the Patriots when they had the lead, you think that has drained them, sapped them of anything they've got left cooking there?
Well, here's what I would say, Jason. I think when Pittsburgh went into Baltimore and beat them, that took away all their confidence. Sunday night was Custer's last stand, and Custer didn't win. It's over. Baltimore, this is one of those games, and I said this with Vinny and Eric this morning, this is one of those games where you jump on them, you're going to start seeing that kind of that distant look of just not our year. Because Baltimore knows they're not getting in. Pittsburgh's going to – I don't even know who Pittsburgh plays this weekend.
They play Cleveland at Cleveland this weekend.
Yeah, and Cleveland
should
beat them.
Rhapsody.
Like, they could, but I would think Pittsburgh would win. And if Pittsburgh wins, it's deuces. Now, the fact that Baltimore's going to play – I think Pittsburgh and Cleveland play on Sunday.
Correct.
So Baltimore's going to try. I think they know their fate. And it's one of those deals where if Green Bay can jump on them, I think this could be one of our big wins of the year. But as you said, I don't even know who the hell is going to be available to play quarterback yet. So until we know that, I believe Jordan Love will, but I don't know that. You don't know that. And I don't know if the Packers know that as we sit here right now. So Baltimore, if it was within a game, they could have probably sat him. And, you know, if they were dead even – and everything was coming down to next Sunday, which is what I thought was going to happen. Now it's basically Baltimore. They lose, it's over. But I think in their heart of hearts, they know it's over already anyways.
The Baltimore Ravens could win both of their remaining games and still not make the playoffs. The Steelers, all they have to do is win or tie. I always ignore the tie part, and then this year the Packers obviously had the tie in Dallas. The Packers, meanwhile, all they have to do is win or tie, clinch a playoff berth. All the Bears have to do to clinch the division is win one of their last two games, but neither one of those are easy games. So those are the playoff scenarios as we enter this week's
Jason,
games.
What do you think is going to happen out in San Fran? San Fran's defense is not good. They're missing you take your two best players. We have our best player out. San Francisco's got two of those guys that are – I think Mike is obviously better, but both of those guys are best at their position, Pro Bowl players all the time in Varner and in Bosa. They can't rush the passer, man. San Fran can't rush the passer.
Yeah, I think it's remarkable that they're in the position they are, considering their circumstances, frankly. So that, again, although I don't know if we're huge Kyle Shanahan fans on this program, he's
a hell of a coach.
He's a really,
he's a good
really
coach.
Good football coach. Yeah, no doubt about that. We will see how that plays out. We need to get to Uncle Homer to get his thoughts, but before we can do that, Tausch needs to tell us about Tito's Vodka.
Oh, Tito's Handmade Vodka is my go-to. Made in Austin, Texas, the first legal distillery in the state. It's distilled 6 times. A good, smooth, clean finish. And with the holidays, there's nothing better. Sitting around, talking with family, playing cards, watching ball, and having a Tito's with whatever your favorite mixer is. And you know what, Tito's? They do great drinks, but they also give back in the community in a big way, partnering with nonprofits and especially our four-legged friends. So the next time you're raising a glass, just make sure it's Tito's Handmade Vodka in that glass, crafted to be savored responsibly.
Steve the Homer True joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Our frogs get royalties because, well, as much as I love Duke,
number one, you can start talking faster, and then we wouldn't play as much of the song, and then we might not have that problem.
Dang!
Why don't you introduce Homer?
Why don't you go on vacation?
Number two, we did play it last week, and the week before it was okay, so I think we're in good shape.
So you're basically trial and erroring, and seeing if we get booted off of Spotify and YouTube when we play this. That's your, instead of fact seems checking like that's, it. That's the approach you've chosen to make.
Yes. That's how we've gone about it. Yes. Yeah.
Joining us now, he is the voice of Marquette men's basketball for the last 36 seasons. He is also the host of the Homer Hour, and you can catch him on God Talk with Homer and Pip. Is Steve the Homer, true Homer? Hello.
Hello. I think it's a good gamble on Duke. I'd be shocked if he carries any weight that would require anything. But guess we'll see.
What is your history with him?
I saw him at the first time at Vegetable Buddies in South Bend, Indiana. It must have been about 1970 something, and. I have no real musical interest at all, or very little, and I just thought he was amazing, and I've been following him ever since. And again, he was kind enough to write a song, Brett Favre is an Alien, so I knew him when he was Duke Tomato and the All-Star Frogs. I ran into him years later in Milwaukee, and they were, it was the Duke Tomato Power Trio, and I said, what happened to the Frogs? And he laughs and goes, long, long time ago. So I don't know why.
Is he still with us?
Gave up on him. I believe he is, yes. I'm not sure, but I think so, and I think he's still entertaining. He's got to be in his 80s. Let me look that up.
Yeah, Jason, look that up.
Let me look that up. I've been assigned a lot of assignments today. Homer, we were discussing earlier the fact that the Green Bay Packers have one Pro Bowl selection and what that may say or not say about Brian Gutekunst. What is your opinion on that?
Not the slightest bit worried, because actually they have two. We all know Tucker Kraft is a Pro Bowler. Okay, so you get two. That's for a beginning. And you have a number of other players, to me, that are pretty close. I mean, Jordan Love could be close as a quarterback. Let's see. Oh,
McKinney.
Zach Tom is a Pro Bowl player. That's three.
McKinney.
So I think they have three to begin with and easily could have four or five. So, no, it's a reflection of the problem with the Packers for many years and continues. Is they're good, but are they good enough? From the players to the head coach and to the GM. I did want to address the thing as far as the special teams coach, because there was a situation that never occurs in terms of addressing the coach. Because generally it's hard to do, but not in this case, because it leads with, look, firing coach is tough, but a very successful coach just fired his special teams coach in the middle of the season, and their performance is very similar to ours, to the Packers. What? And you haven't. What's the difference here? It's, you cannot say that firing a coach in the midseason is out of control, because it's been done this year by a coach who is viewed as better than Matt LaFleur a little bit and tougher. And this would be another example of toughness versus lack of it. I would also add, halftime of the game against Denver, the announcer asked Matt LaFleur, what happened because you had some problems with players? He said, yeah, we talked about it before the game or all week. And I thought she would say, I guess nobody listens, because he said, we'll talk about it again at half. My point? Again, an example of, do they listen to him? Does the special teams coach listen to him? to appropriate questions, and not doesn't mean he should be fired, LaFleur, but a belief like that is most appropriate, especially in the context that it, you're looking at a coach at a position where a successful coach with a team like yours good just fired his.
So, Homer, are you saying that he should fire Bisaccia?
I said early in the year he should have. I can't remember what game. It was on the post-game show. But, you know, then the comment is, you never fire coaches in the middle of the year. No one ever does. Well, they just did on a team similar to the ability of the Packers with the coach, similar to LaFleur, both successful. So that's – now, I assume he's not going to do it because that's not how he rolls.
But he should. You're saying he should.
I would have, yeah. But, I mean, that's this was before. There's a point like – and I don't blame him for what Dobbs did. I love Dobbs' answer. Gosh, that's, how could you not root for that kid the rest of his life? Just, yeah, 100% on me. Anyway, when things just screw up all the time, how many times do you hear it? You can't fire every player. You fire the coach. It's always something. And when it's always something – got to make a change. Now, I believe what that something was, I can't even remember what it was early in the year, which is an example of how many times this stuff has occurred. This is not his fault, but they always seem to underperform, and at some point you say, I guess we could do better or do worse, but it'd be tough. And as Jason mentioned too, you're paying him all this money. You hired him with the concept that he was very good. So...
yeah, I think generally what gets special teams coaches fired, and there would certainly be the example of this with the Rams, are returns for touchdowns. I think those are the straws that generally break special teams coordinators' backs when it comes to their employment. When you give up a big touchdown, that's what gets you canned, because those are colossal.
Or punt blocks.
Punt blocks, yes. Remember, in the 2014 NFC Championship game that the Packers lose, we all remember the Bostic botching the onside kick. But really, the Packers were leading 16-0 at the time of that fake field goal, where no one seemed to have any clue that that might occur, even though there were less knowledgeable sports writers in the press box saying, ooh, this feels like a time where they might try to get things going here with a fake field goal. And lo and behold, that's exactly what John Ryan, the ex-Packers punter, delivered. And Sean Slocum did not apparently see that coming. So, again, I think touchdowns are what get you fired. I don't think that just because Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur are friends that Matt LaFleur would take a page out of his playbook and do that. I also think the dynamic with Matt LaFleur and Rich Bisaccia is vastly different, and he's also the assistant head coach, and I don't think Matt LaFleur for one second considered firing Rich Bisaccia. Is there a conversation to be had after this season that it might be time for new blood? Absolutely. But I don't see Matt LaFleur as being able to pull the trigger on that kind of a decision in season, especially with two games left in the regular season. Homer, do you want the Bears again in the playoffs, assuming the Packers get there?
What was the question again?
Do you want the Bears in the playoffs, assuming the Packers get there again?
Well, but the Bears are already in the playoffs.
Yeah, but we don't have to play them. Yeah, it's one of those days. Homer, do you want, of all the matchups, do you feel best that the Packers could beat the Bears, or do you like a different matchup?
I mean, I think it'd be great to play the Bears because
I do too.
Both have said, I think they're better, but they were better in the game, and it, you know, it took, as things happened, to lose. I don't know. There might be a better situation if the Packers were at home, but especially given Cubs and the Brewers, it would be fantastic. But yes, I would be awesome to play the Bears, and very confident that the Packers would win.
Homer, I missed you on the postgame show on Saturday night late. What was your big takeaways What? No, I did. I did miss you. What were your big takeaways?
No,
I'm mad.
No, they should have won the game. They just messed up. I still think that they find out on the fourth down play. The blitz was a great call, and I'm assuming Nixon was the wrong place. Now, it was still a pretty good pass, but has anybody resolved who messed up on that play?
Jason's going to find that out today. Right,
that's my hope. That is my hope, yes. Maybe if Nate Hobbs lets me talk to him.
The quarterback was good. I felt bad. They were, you know, they didn't get lucky like the last time they played the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. No doubt. So, Homer, how concerned are you about this quarterback situation now? The fact that we don't know, obviously, Jordan Love's status, where Malik Willis is health-wise. You know, we got old Tooney. He's up in the next guy. Where are you at as far as concern level heading into what is going to end up being another short week?
I agree with what you said. I think Love will play, and then they have a cushion to where even if they have to play Anthony Dilwig, other things can happen. This is about making the playoffs more than anything. So all they got to do is win one or Detroit lose one, right?
Yep.
So it would be bad, but even if the worst occurred, it's not. It doesn't mean they're not going to make the playoffs, and it prevents the 1% for the Bears to lose to, but. I agree with you. I'd be shocked if Love doesn't play.
We will hopefully find out more later today when Matt LaFleur addresses us at 1:15, and then we will be in the locker room a little bit later in the afternoon. But with Jordan Love in the concussion protocol, he will not be speaking with us. We'll see where Malik Willis's shoulder is at as well. Homer, do we have a Golden Eagles game coming up on the schedule, or are they off for the Christmas break?
They do not play until they play at home against the Seton Hall, and Marquette will be an underdog.
Gulak.
Gulak. That's exactly what I was going to say. Thank you.
You bet. Bye.
That is Steve the Homer True. Again, you can hear him on the Homer Hour. I believe John Anderson's night is tonight. Tausch, the time has come again.
Ooh, this is on you this time.
Already?
Right?
It is.
All right,
time for the
with?
Iron Jock giveaway. Another tumbler at stake. The last number was what?
138, which is probably a lot. Holiday week, probably pushed, and Jesse's already, you know, checked out. No offense to Jesse, but he's told us he's checked out. So you do whatever you want, Jason. I mean, it's obviously
I think I'm just gonna cut that number in half.
That seems reasonable.
That way, it still gives people an opportunity that are streamers to win the tumbler.
Yeah.
So the number's high. It still punishes Jesse a little bit, but not, you know, excruciatingly painfully.
I appreciate that.
So caller 69 will be the selection.
That's half of 138?
Is that right? I was trying to do the math on that.
I couldn't do it in my head. It sounds right.
It seems right. Yeah, it seems right.
I appreciate you guys fact-checking me.
Yeah.
So I don't have to look that up for everyone.
All right.
Along
caller
with
so
Patriots
caller 69.
Pro Bowls. Caller
if you're 69. Looking, if you're looking for that perfect holiday gift, you just want to upgrade your own gear, check out the great sales right now at Iron Jock. You know, I'm a big believer in their apparel. It's tough. It's comfortable. Got great exclusive silver ion technology because it fights that odor that nobody wants to have around. Check out the great deals on their hoodies, their tees, their shorts, and you can save big at ironjock.com. That's ironjock.com. Caller 69. We'll win an Iron Jock tumbler. That's caller 69 to win that Iron Jock tumbler at 844-770-3776.
Caller 69 wins the tumbler from Iron Jock. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
We'll get to the 11 o'clock hour momentarily. Matt LaFleur speaking at 1:15. So catchy.
I do like this one.
It's a good tune.
Jesse, who's our big winner today? Second big winner.
Patrick and Spooner, the big winner of our Iron Jock second tumbler giveaway today. Where is Spooner? I don't know that.
It's up by Eau Claire. I think it's up by Eau Claire.
Ooh.
Right by that fork in the road.
So good. That's one. Kind of funny. Nice. That was actually really good. It's funny that Patrick and Spooner is eligible as a Wisconsin resident to win a prize, but someone in Chicago who is closer to our Milwaukee and Madison offices is not eligible to win the prize, but them's the rules at ESPNWisconsinContests.com.
Indeed. All right, we need to get to the 11 o'clock hour because...
What's interesting about that?
That it's a shorter distance from our studios, and yet... We're willing to, because they're within the state lines, they're eligible, and someone that could be just over the border but much closer in actual proximity to us is ineligible. Seems a little arbitrary.
Maybe it's just the holiday season, and it's got me all warm and fuzzy inside.
Holiday season.
But I feel bad for, as our YouTube dweller audience continues to grow, and our...
Well, let's change the blanket rules.
That's what I'm saying, Tao. Our show continues to evolve in our digital presence. We have so many people calling in from Atlanta and Chicago and San Diego. Well, no, you don't. You can't do that.
We got two votes. We're a democracy here. Two votes gets it done.
There are more people involved than just the two of us in this decision.
Just the two of us.
It's 2 hours north of Eau Claire. That's a haul.
I didn't know you could go 2 hours north of Eau Claire.
Apparently you can. And you know what?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I bet you there's a lot of people in Spooner that put cans of beans out and take that spoon and just shovel it in over an open fire.
With their horses.
With a rusty
masculinity
spoon.
Up there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Well, we tell them, good luck with your beans in Spooner. You don't want to rely on luck when it comes to being injured in an accident, though. If it happens, obviously that's unlucky. But your hope is that you're taken care of correctly. And that's what Gruber Law Offices does. They make sure that you are taken care of. So make the call. If you've been injured, don't make the call. If you haven't been, hopefully you never have to. But if you do, you need to have the best team on your team, and that is Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Or go to the website, gruber-law.com. Our power rankings Tuesday, on an actual Tuesday, followed by double Wisconsin trivia. Are you kidding me? Stick around for the 11 o'clock hour. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.